Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, what the hell? What's the title of this thing? Don't title again.
And I did only be a little money.
Rolling, Bob.
Okay, let's get this show started. Now, I don't want to get up. I'm cozy. I've got my feet wrapped in a blanket. I've got a heater on. I'm sitting here in the back of the road track. It is January the 17th, maybe? Yeah, it is. Mid-afternoon. I've been meaning to come out here since probably 10 o'clock this morning. Only just out now. Can you hear me? I've got a remote control, but I don't think it reaches from here to the dashboard. Give me a minute and I'll try when the next cut comes. That is a CD that my son sent me. It arrived in the mail yesterday from Vancouver by a group called Can, who I did not know. A German group, avant-garde for sure. They did have a few hits. None of them are on this collection of music. It's called Unlimited Edition. Came out after Limited Edition. And it's very cool. I'm starting to get quite engaged with it, and I definitely will share a cut or two with you. This remote from here, no matter how hard I press, doesn't lower the volume. I just hate to get up, but it may be that some people, I think I lost a listener called Mountain Mona long ago because I kept the background music up too loud. And I was sort of loser. She's an interesting woman, but there you go. I didn't reply in a nice way and apologize. I think my response is often the case with my listeners. So go fuck yourself. And that doesn't win you any awards. No. There's no hints there. Oh, yeah, listen. Speaking of which, this is a story. Well, God, now it's too fucking low. Can't hear a goddamn thing. Hang on. Listen, while I'm up here, I may as well ring the bloody bell. There. Come on, guys. What's the volume? This is volume. What are we at? 22? 21. Let's leave it there and see how that does. Because you can't tell. I mean, every track is so completely different in style. You just don't know what you're going to get. Which is why I like it, and it's kind of neat that, you know, my son, my older son out there on the West Coast would say, Dad, I thought you might like this, and sends me a CD, so there you have it. Now, this morning, I have a morning routine, which I get up always before my wife leaves for work, because she leaves at 9, so it's not too much of a stretch. She always makes good coffee in the morning. She grinds the beans and always has a cup for me. And so I see her off. I start up or scrape off the car if it needs that. I see the neighbor scraping off her driveway. I called up to my son, asked him to do it, so I'm not going to worry about that. We have a snowfall today, which is why it's kind of special being out here on the road trek today. It's cold, but I got this blanket. I've got an electric heater, as I mentioned, and it's just, I wanted to do this all day. Okay, sorry, back to my morning routine. God, I'm starting to sound like Mark Blevitz, wandering all over the place without a coherent thought. Well, that's a little harsh. I say that only because Mark is caught up, okay? And you know we like to tease. Mark is caught up. So Mark, my suggestion to you is, from this point on, listen to the songs and maybe try listening at half speed instead of double speed. And that way I'll be able to stay just enough ahead of you so I don't have to rush these things. Okay, anyway, this morning routine. I love it. But I get onto I've got the TV on, I've got the news, and then I've got my MacBook Air beside me. And I'm just, there's tweets, there's Facebook posts, huge news today coming out of Cambridge, and that part of the world in Ontario where the road treks are made, Waterloo, that the CEO may be gone. And 90 people who were recently hired were given their walking papers. Now, here's the problem. Road Trek, the vehicle that I'm sitting in now, this one that has a cult following of people who absolutely love them. They are very carefully built. As it got bigger and bigger, okay, and they started putting more and more high-tech stuff in, they started to have a few more problems. They did not have trained technicians in the States because they're made here in Canada. To keep up with all the developments about these new, you know, the solar and the there's a special starting system and lots of other developments. High tech that needed tweaking and the wiring was different and it ran into trouble. And so a few people complained and Road Trek fell out of favor with a few for the newer models and which are just trying to get fixed up. Now, the year I have, 2008, is the mechanic said, wow, that's classic. That's everything works there. There are no solar panels. There are no really fancy electronics on this thing. Anyway, God. So that was some of the news coming out. How does that relate? Oh, yeah, so it's, you just get busy on social media in the hour. Next thing you know, holy shit, it's lunchtime. Now, what happened was yesterday, I'm on so many Facebook groups, but some for the Beats, some for Jack Kerouac, and I'll get to that later, too. My God, so much to pull back to. Somebody had posted Allen Ginsberg had archived all his audio, like every recording, everything. Like he was a master. He kept records of everybody. He had notebooks. He was very, very anal when it came to, you know, more ways than one, but certainly in terms of keeping a record of who said what, when, and where. And to his credit, and that stuff survived, so now there are archives of everything he was on. So this one thing that somebody posted was a radio interview in Chicago with it wasn't Stutz Terkel, but some well-known name of a Chicago, all my American friends will know who I'm talking about, a Chicago radio broadcaster. This is back in 1955, or 57 maybe. And now we have a Japanese student in the background, you probably can't hear that. Yeah, I didn't have the toque. The whole plan was to get out here early, have a toque, take the day off. It was a Thursday. I had no meetings, nothing scheduled. This is the day I'm going to have a toque and sit in the road track and have a great time. Well, I never got around to it. It started with this, listening to Allen Ginsberg on this radio show. And he had Gregory Corso and Peter Orlovsky with him, his lover. Corso is another poet, famous for Gasoline, I think. I don't like it all. As a person, I find him just obnoxious from the little I know of him. And on this show, he just went out of his way to be an asshole. He was probably high. I'm pretty sure they were all high. But Ginsberg was keeping it real and said, no, let's do some poetry. That's why we're here. And Ginsberg, in fact, was in town supporting a publication for poetry and so on. God, none of these details are important. Anyway, I listened. I got pissed off at Corso. So that was last night. So this morning, I wanted to go back to that page and post a comment, like, how much better this radio interview would have been for the Beats had it only been Ginsberg. Because I really felt like the Beats were still new then, and the radio host was saying, well, what is Beat? And Corso was giving a stupid, pointless, ridiculous, inane, asinine answer for every question. Just could not, wanting to sound out there or something. And the host was saying, you know, to our listeners, they're not going to know what to make of this. And then Ginsberg would try and put it back on track. And it annoyed me. And I felt this morning, I felt the need to comment on that post. Like, why would I care? But I do care. It was important to me, and I couldn't find that. I'm digging and digging, and so I call up a page that's got every group I'm subscribed to or joined or member of, and I'm going through, and I find, well, gee, that doesn't, what the hell is that one? And I go to it, and it's the one Rob Lee created when he and Catherine got together and organized a little audio for my 70th birthday, which I'd completely forgotten about, that audio. And here it was, and it came up. Now, the whole time I was searching for the Ginsberg reference so I could post my comment, a voice in my head was saying, Ken, why bother? Why are you doing this? It's not important. Why are you doing this? Well, it turns out I would not have found that audio that I had forgotten about, and that just made me so happy today, had I not been searching for the link, the reference to the Ginsberg interview I listened to last night. Like, it's those weird things in life that almost sometimes makes it seem like you've been guided, or if you just keep pursuing something, it'll get you to a place you didn't know you wanted to get to. But when you get there, you realize, yes, thank God I'm here. And that's exactly what happened. When I played that whole thing and I heard people's clips and greetings to me, and I felt loved and cared for, and I had a place in this podcasting community. And I posted to Rob and to Catherine, who chose the music, which was just excellent, that I've been, I can't remember the word I used, reassured or validated or something like that. But thank you so much. Oh my God, it took me 11 minutes to get to that one point. Mark Blevis, I'm giving you a run for your money. All right. But at least I have a point. Sorry. Okay. So where did that lead us? Well, I finally made it into the road track, which is where I am now. I wanted to play this thing. It turns out the CD player with a surround sound in the road track is just making a horrific sound when I started up. And I figured, oh, that's because it's just cold. It's been ice cold in here, and the whole thing has just been damaged from the cold. And I'm going to wait for spring and see, because I wanted to take it out, but there are so many connections to it that I can't see. It's hidden deep in the back, and I can't see what I'm taking out. I suppose I could do it in order and take a picture of each one. That's possible. But I just have the feeling I do that, and it's going to be so hard to get this thing in and working again. So what decision do I make? Those smart ones of you out there, the Milans and the Michaels and the Robs. Sorry if I've left your name off. We'll just do it, and they'd know what to do, and they'd figure it out. But me knowing, I'm just going to create more problems for myself. So it's one of those things, just leave it alone and give it enough time, and it'll fix itself, and maybe that will happen. So that's why I'm listening to this music on the front speakers of the road track. Oh, I wanted this to be so much better and so much more interesting than it is, but what did I want to share? I guess how tangled up I am in social media, and how grateful I am for the places it takes me, and how important it is to me. I know the other bigger picture was people sort of, often people think, you know, Ken, you know, big drinker still. Well, I'm not a big drinker anymore. I limit down to, very rarely do I have 5 pints, maybe 4, often happy with 3. So I'm not a big drunk like I was in the old days, and anybody who's known me for podcasting has never known me to drink hard alcohol. A sip of scotch, maybe, but never to just sort of let loose, let's get hammered, guys. No, you know, I will drink and toke. That'll be my combination, my formula. So there's these images of the Scarborough dude, oh, he must be this, or he must believe this. And another one is, well, everything must be beat. And again, I'm calling out Mark on that. I'm not quite so enamored, I mean, especially after hearing this last Gregory Corso interview. But even with Kerouac, I mean, as I'm older, I see more of his flaws, and I'm excited for the writing he did, and I'm glad he existed, and I think it was a very important voice. But you can see, on the one hand, I've just moved on to Timothy Leary, and it's not because I think he's better. It's just they don't compare this at all. They are figures from their time who had a huge impact on the culture, and they're both very important to me. But what I'm getting at here is, on these blogs and Facebook groups that I keep going back to, because there's a lot of new stuff coming out still on Kerouac, I'm not one of the disciples anymore. So when I did that trip to Lowell once and missed last year, went the year before, and there's all these people, just diehard fans, or there's diehard, you know, Grateful Dead fans, and there's all these people who are just devoted to these things. I move. I'm flexible. I'll move on. I'll come back to. I'll revisit. But sometimes I feel some people get stuck in a certain place, and that's not me. I want to be open to lots of different things and be able to move on, and that's why now, okay, I've parked the Beats. You know, of course I'll come back to them, but don't pigeonhole me with, oh, Ken is just Beats, thank you. No, Ken is just Timothy Leary now, thank you. Because, god damn, there is so much in that book. Oh, yeah, here it is in front of me. I'm going to have to, because I'm going to run out of time. The issue here was when the government, and at the insistence, basically, of the CIA, made LSD illegal, Leary was sort of left with, well, I can't easily get it now to go to, you know, the other professors and other people of a you know, high standard who will take this in the way it was meant to be taken, you know, as sort of a religious experience. So there's a very, very interesting description of what he meant by tune in, turn on, drop out. Now, the hippies became the new Leary followers. Okay, it's not the professors anymore. There's this whole younger generation I mentioned before, maybe, of millions who had nothing to lose by exploring, by dropping out, and so on. And they were just thinking, great, take drugs and have fun. And really, that wasn't Leary's message. It became that. It was turned into that. It was interpreted that way. But Leary was always very serious and always saw this as like a religious-like or a psychological experience that should be treated with respect. So the tune-in referred to set and setting, to paying attention to yourself and your environment and creating a sense of harmony between them. And that was always, like, they never gave LSD without first thinking about, okay, where are you at personally? What's going on in your life? And that's why I'm afraid to take it now, because I think I'd just be overwhelmed at things that I haven't necessarily processed or baggage I'm still carrying. That, whoa, scary. So it's not till I get diagnosed with, okay, Alzheimer's is coming on, or you got terminal cancer, then I demand the drugs. Anyway, Leary was going on about, no, take this in the right setting at the right time, not just, you know, turn on and walk down the street and yell at people. Turn on meant to turn on the parts of your brain that dealt with expanded awareness by taking LSD. Like, that was the turning on. Okay, there's whole parts of the brain that aren't used that really, like, this just wasn't hallucination. This was parts of the brain fired up that aren't normally accessed that are telling you things that, holy Christ, they're still there. They're still real. They're just buried down, but we don't normally have a way to get to those parts, to get to those thoughts, to get to that level of awareness and understanding. Drop out, he would later insist, meant to drop out of existing conditioning and behaviors. So, you know, on the one hand, he's playing games here, because dropout meant, like, you don't have to be a corporate, you know, vice president heading up that ladder. Is that really the life you want? But it just didn't mean drop out of society altogether, because the answer is, well, who's going to feed them? How are they going to eat? The youth movement of the late 60s was one of the most inventive and influential in history. And LSD itself is far more likely to prompt individuals toward action than apathy. This is against the criticisms that people have that everybody's going to drop out and do nothing. they thought it was the recipe for an enlightened, joy-filled life. That was the tune in turn on. It all sounded so simple, but of course it wasn't. Anyway, I could go on, but I think I've already reached almost the 20-minute mark. Here's a little piece of music. Do you want to? Should I end with this piece of music? This is Beat. That's what's so funny. This is Beat.
Little do they know what to do. Mother and father up booked. Not having any money at all, decided that they would have to wrap her up in their tent and carry her back to Dusseldorf.
It goes on for a long time, so I'm not going to give you that whole cut. All right, I guess I'm going to sign off now. I know I try to limit myself to 20 minutes, and oh my God, this one I could have cleaned up, or maybe should give it to you at double speed myself. Let me be let prick recite all of this. All right, Scarborough Dude, for welcome to Dixon Jane's episode number 719. I'm feeling very good. Thank you to the community, those of you who chimed in and put out some words of advice for my 70th birthday as was done. Much, much, much appreciated. Signing off.
Somebody, mistake.
But nobody came.
Somebody come.
Nobody asked you. Somebody told you. Nobody loved you.
Somebody loved you. Just like a
tip. Make a wish.
Your wish is
hard. Two thousand times. Somebody asked you. Nobody told you.
I haven't told you.
Nobody can.
Who can come to you?
Nobody love.
Michelle loves you.
Nobody love.
Jackie
nobody
loves
love.
You.
Nobody love.
Okay. Hope you enjoyed that song by Can. I think it was called TV Spot or something. I think so. Anyway, this is going to be a little different. I'm in the basement, and I rarely record from here. When I do, I usually play records. I'm not going to do that today. Too lazy, maybe? I don't know. I had things to say. And, yeah, wanted to get that done. So, the problem, of course, always comes from, if you think about it, then it sort of changes your voice, and it changes the way you say it, and do you really believe what you're going to say anyway? So there's these filters we all have and use differently. I want to have some confession time here, showing my more unpleasant side. I think I have a tendency, I'm sure you've noticed, to want people to like me and want people to, you know, respect me. I won't say worship, but, you know, respect me for, wow, that guy Ken is a pretty cool guy. I'm glad he's my friend. Yeah, it's pushing it, I guess. But anyway, I'm feeling gratitude, as I mentioned earlier, to the people who listen to this podcast. You don't have to stand up and raise your hand or anything. But I realized something today. I was having a conversation with Shane and Tom, and, you know, Tom saying, well, you know, you should, it's stupid. You can't find your podcast. It's, you know, why'd you put an N instead of the ampersand or and, so it'd be easy to find? And, you know, just generally speaking, I mean, I could probably go back and read the text exactly. Would that be more interesting if I read Tom's words? Tom, you wouldn't mind, would you? If I can find it. How are we doing that? Yeah. So anyway, okay. I know. This is what happens when things are unrehearsed. So he gets into it. You know, this is not what I want to do to start with. This is not where I wanted to go. I did not want to read Tom's words out exactly. Like, what was the point? Just because I have them, I have to read them? Well, so now it's up to you, but how do I know what you want? All right, you want Tom's words, you'll get Tom's words. All right, Tom says, this is Tom Lucy, owner of the Fog Lounge. Tom says, we don't get anybody who follows the show if we tell them about our show either. People don't do that anymore. Okay, there must be something before that what was a little, you know, would set it up better. No, apparently not. Oh, he sent me an audio recording. Oh, you idiot, Ken. Okay, all right, I confess. I added a little extra to my PB&J sandwich this morning, and that accounts for something, I'll tell you. Okay, so he sent me a recording. I wonder if we can play it. Instead of me reading, you get to hear Tom's words.
Okay, here, I'm going to give you the advice that no one else is giving you about getting people to listen to your podcast, period. When you are going to talk to somebody about this, just ask, do you listen to podcasts? Yeah? What do you use to listen to podcasts? Like, what app do you use on your phone? And inevitably, they will tell you or show you, and then you can say, can I recommend a podcast for you? And they'll go, oh, well, yeah, I guess. And then you say, I've been podcasting for like 43 years, so let me just put this on here. And like, watch them put it in their phone or put it in for them. Like, ask people. I don't know how difficult this is. You can't just like tell someone, oh yeah, look up Dicks and Janes. Like, it's not even fucking spelled Dicks and Janes. There's not even an ampersand. It's fucking stupid old book that no one knows. So the name of your podcast isn't easy to just like, oh yeah, let me put that away and go look up Dicks and Janes. You punch it in the phone and get it on their, you know, playlist. Jesus, that's all you gotta do. It's not like if someone gives you their ear for 25 minutes in a bar and you're talking about your podcast, obviously, if they're not running away, then they're probably gonna wanna listen to it. But you can't just, everything has to be like done for everybody now. You can't just make a recommendation. You can't just say, hey, there's this thing that's like tailor-made for you coming up in 2.5 weeks that you should go to. You have to send personal invites. You have to message them the day before the show. You have to message them the day of the show so that they come to a show. So like with podcasts, yeah, you got to do the extra thing. That's what people expect, especially young people. Your show's good. Like, it's not hard to put it on people's phones.
Oh, I'm so glad. So very glad this turned out the way it did. Believe me. Believe me when I talk about this kind of spontaneity and the way things just happen. That was live. Like, I was scrolling. I had forgotten, and I'm looking at it on the phone, and I can't see well. And I'm like, oh, what's that? Did he send me a stupid picture? Because often Shane, Tom, and I will exchange rude pictures. And entirely the blame is on their podcast, Shane and Tom, the Squeeze Box. My God. Oh, my God. Here's another point, and I just keep getting bashed on the head with this one. The richness in your life from having good friendships. The wealth, you know, I'm grateful. Today, I guess I'm especially grateful today, and I don't know why. Well, of course I'm high, but no, it was even before then. I looked on my wall. Oh man, oh man, oh man. I am feeling so in the moment now. Laugh if you choose to. It probably does sound funny, but this is so real. Sitting in my basement now, talking to you. Books beside me. Here's one, Living Time in the Integration of the Life. I don't know what, I bought it once, I just got sucked in by the title. Tried to read it, but I pulled it out. Like, I love my library here. I love the wealth of the library, the wealth of my bar here. How come I never use it? How come I'm never down here? How come I never invite people? Well, I do. The good friends I know who are not necessarily listeners of the podcast. That's the thing. Today I posted a picture. I was looking at my, I was in my room looking at my, I have a big bulletin board. Things pinned up there, drawings and, you know, just things. But one of them was a picture, a page from a Dixon Jane zine, probably the original, with about 6 photographs maybe from something we call the Six Hats Summit. Don't worry, it'll be the image for this podcast. And there were 6 of us. Got our shit together somehow and got on a ferry to the Sunshine Coast. We even have a car. Yeah, we had vehicles. Don't remember whose, but anyway, we just had a fine time. That's in the past. That's fine. I lived it. But today I saw the picture of that, and I looked at there's a group of 6 of us. 2 are already gone, already deceased. So, getting back to what Tom said, I think I'm understanding better now. I used to joke, but maybe I wasn't joking, saying it'd be so nice if a student from the future reached down into the digital past and dug up Ken Ball, this podcast. But I guess it doesn't have to be the distant future. I realize now one of the reasons that I like this small listenership and don't want a whole lot of people. There's no meaning to that. I feel a little intimacy. I don't feel strangers are looking in at me. I feel I'm amongst friends when I do this. If you're bothering still to listen, you're a friend, and that's comforting. And you think of large numbers. Oh, God, damn. What if there were 2,000 listeners? Oh, fuck, that'd be awful. But what I really want, and what I think I've planted the seed for, is after I'm dead, my God, I'm leaving a lot of hours behind. Like, this is hour number, 719. And I think you could dig back and just pick up any day at random. And I think there's some value to that, or a podcast at random. So I think what I'm leaving behind, so it doesn't really matter if it's good or it's not good or it's just, and certainly it doesn't matter about popularity and having numbers. I know I make it sound that way by sometimes, look at me, I've been doing this for 15 years and got 4 listeners. No, I have. I mean, I've got the, what is that? It's not the golden egg, the golden ring. I think I've tried to use this image before. You're riding around the merry-go-round, you got to pull the golden ring or something. And that is that I've got friends through podcasting, that this hobby of mine, this thing that I'm doing, this effortless fun thing that I do, and put out there into the real world, digital as it may be, I'm touching people now, and that thought of being able to touch people when I'm not here thrills me. I don't want to sound horny about it, but if I'm dead when you're listening to this, hey, hello, thank you. And where does that one go? Who's to know if nobody hears it? But anyway, I'm going down a place. I think what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to shut this up. I don't want to lose it. I do have another entirely different story I want to. I need to share with you now that this business is behind us. But I think I need to take a break. I think that would be the wise thing to do. I wasn't sure how much of the liquid to drop onto the jam. And so I don't think I used 5, maybe 3 cc's, if that's how you measure it. I don't even know. Or 3 milliliters. Drop. All over the jam, and then you slap the side with the peanut butter on. And you eat that baby. And you're wondering, was this a good idea or a bad idea? You're thinking, what if I kind of bum out and don't enjoy this experience at all? And what if it's too much? What if I get too high? And what if I get a funny feeling like I'm going to have to rush myself to the hospital? Oh my God, all these negative thoughts. And then you just got to surrender a little bit. Surrender. Surrender to yourself. Hey, listen. I brought something down. Oh, shit. It's not here. All right, that'll be part 2, the Timothy Leary quote. Okay, anyway, it's turning out very nicely. Thank you very much. Thank you for asking. You ride these little waves sometimes. There is a frighteningness to life. And I think it is just in the knowing it ends. You don't think about that much when you're young. You're living. And I guess that's what that picture represented. That picture went back. Like, I looked at that and I felt good. Like, it seems completely unreal. It's a piece of paper with some pictures, some photographs of people. But each one of those people, my God, what a character. Peter McRae, the accountant, in the picture, awarding Bruce the trophy, one of the trophies. An eccentric. He was the one you'd go to his place Sunday morning, you'd just smoke up, get high, and you're drinking Caesars or, the Roman Cokes came later in the afternoon. And then you'd head off. You get high, and he's putting on these albums, this vinyl from musicals and things like Jesus Christ Superstar or something like that. You're thinking, holy fuck, this is good. And you go off and have your brunch. Anyway, I mean, that's one of a fraction. Remember, probably one of the later times seeing him, we got a Ouija board out. I don't even think we used the board. I think we just had, the Ouija, the little thing itself that you slide across the board. Yeah, we had a board. And again, got very high in the evening. And this Ouija on our three, you know, probably total six fingers, the three of us holding this thing, it whooshed fast right off the board. Scared the shit out of us. We just stopped. That was the end of the game right there. Holy fuck, something's here. They didn't like that. They didn't like the fact that we were teasing. You know, we were joking about this thing. It really did scare us, three adults. I've been scared a couple of times. And Bruce and I, hiking the Chilkoot Trail. Bruce is the one who got the award. Looking good. He's got his Hanshin Tiger's hat there. Both of us seeing the ghosts on the Chilkoot Trail in their little cabin. Holy fuck. Wow. Hallucinations. But my God, were they real? And why would we have... both have these things happen to us. And yes, there's a lot of alcohol consumed, but that didn't account for it. There must have been spirits or something in that place just to spook us. And we were exhausted. That was a trip. Yes, you know. Okay, all right. Hey, you think you know? How did we get out of town? What town were we in when we began the Chilkoot Trail? And how did we get out of town? There's a test. You need a test question? There's a test question. I could tell you the answer. Anyway, Bruce could too, you know. Bruce could too. No, he'd know exactly, and he'd laugh. He'd have a smile because, yeah, because we shared times together. And my God, you got to keep doing that. And so here I am in the present, and I'm grateful. I can go and have a beer with Connie at the Lindsmore. How rich is that? And John... how rich to know someone like John. How rich to know all these new people in my life. It's not just the friends remaining in Vancouver or gone. There's new friends. And these are such special people. The people I know who I really don't care if they listen to the podcast. This podcast, this is not an audience. These are people you think are interesting and intelligent. And how fortunate for me. Using the thing they tell you, hang out with younger people. It's a lot more interesting. And well, no offense to anybody 70 and over, but you learn a lot. And you know, if you fall, you know they're going to be able to pick you up and take care of you. I'm joking there, of course, but the lovely Lisa from the Canada-Japan Society. So all these connections, all this network of friends I have in Toronto, how wonderful this is, having bars to go to talk and drink. How rich this life. See, that's a message I'd like to give to people. That's the point, to me, of podcasting. Now, that would be an idea for a podcast. Just have your podcast playing in the room, but you're not there. You just record, here it is, here's a session, you know, and people walk in, listen, hear two sentences, walk out. Somebody might stay for three sentences. I like that idea. There wouldn't be any questions. Well, amongst themselves, there probably would be, yeah. That's a good idea. Kind of idea you get when you're stoned.
Okay, so beside me, all right, turn my head. Oh yeah, I'm going to end this thing and I'm going to get on to the important thing. Oh my God, this might be a long episode. It's almost 20 minutes, but let's finish off right here. Ecstasy of the Beats by David Creighton. A blue hand. Now, what is the tragicomic, mind-altering odyssey of Allen Ginsberg, a holy fool, a rebel muse, a Dharma bum, and his prickly bride in India. God, have you ever read that? Oh, that was a weird book I've never seen since. I should put that up on one of the forums. I'm on a lot of forums, too, which is good. And I'm commenting. I can post something on Coronation Street. Canadian Coronation Street. Fan. People complaining, you know, sometimes it's only a TV show and people complain about inconsistencies in the plot. The character, people love to bitch and complain and then somebody bitches about the bitching and it's quite funny. Really. So anyway, you plug into these different things and you just keep on living and you hope, you're awake for the ride. You hope that you're really grateful for this thing called living, for this thing you have, this thing. This is the time now. This time is just sucking into the past. It's just sucking past you, through you, so damn fast. I don't know what to end on. Looking the other side, turn my head the other way, and I see 4488. I see 1532. I see 24686. I see VE2YP, VE2YP, VE2YP. Okay, by category, folks. Those were license plates. Yes, yes, very good. Okay, next question. They're nice. It's a nice collection. My God, it's a work of art. Oh, fuck, don't take a picture of that. Yeah, okay, so listen, I got to start pulling into where I am now and stop talking to you. It's a feeling now that everything I say is going to be gold. And, of course, you know it's not going to be. It's just me. But I'm grateful for the Beats. I'm grateful for Timothy Leary. I'm grateful for my parents. I'm grateful for Lachine High School. I'm grateful for the St. Lawrence Seaway. That's a connection through my father. That was his job. That's what brought us to Valleyfield. Anyway. Yeah, I'm afraid to let go. How weird is that? I'm afraid to let go. Ooh, that just came out. Who's talking there? Spooking yourself out. Let's go back and write it. Beat right as it were. Baby Driver by Jane Garrett. Like the electric Kool-Aid as it does. Tom Wolfe. All right. How interesting was that? Not very, but listen. Here's the thing. I'd like to invite somebody here who's never been here, but would like to be here. So that's an invitation. Somebody listens to this podcast, who's never been here, and, you know, again, I'd like to visit sometime and maybe listen to some music and have a drink in your basement, bar. I'd like to look at your little museum. Now, of course, you understand you have no choice. Anyway, you get here, and you better stand up and walk around and look at things and ask a question or two. It is a little museum. It is a cool little place. I should really be spending more time down here. It just makes me less and less and less ever want to think about selling this house. Just stay where you are. Whew. Yeah, you wouldn't want to downsize, man. Anyway, okay, there will be another segment over there today, tomorrow, who knows when. And it will be, I hope, some raw honesty. That's what I mean. That's what I feel I need to do. On a different topic. And, you know, how stupid I can be sometimes. How stupid. You know. All right. Let's come back to that. Let's hit stop, for Christ's sake.
Houses in each little rose contrasting against the sky. Tumble down black shacks over the tracks. Children so hungry they could cry. The chrome, the steel, the metal dream, leaving the TV to rot. The escapist young mind left behind, saving dimes for community pot. You better get straight. You better get straight. Is on 6 o'clock news and the channels of full colored lies. The company meets, the president speaks, his young but his bones creak. Young girl dresses for the high school dance and the guy next door is dying for a beat. Get straight! Bible in the drawer of the motel room, and it's crying out to be read. But it stays right there, collecting dust. No one understands what's being said. Lovers make love in concrete boxes. What will tomorrow bring? They've been told that it's wrong, but they don't give a damn. Soon another life it will bring. You better get straight, baby.
Okay, this might sound a little different. I'm in the living room. I have podcast from here recently, but it's not very often. A little out of breath, I did some shoveling. We had very light snow, so it's stuff you could actually just push with the wide plow. You don't have to, you know, dig and heave and toss onto the lawn. This was just a push it out of the way, so that was okay. But it will look good when I come home, because we're supposed to do the sidewalk in front of our house too. Like the city used the sidewalk right up to the neighbor's house, and ours is a bit long, it's on a bit of a curve, but no excuse not to. All the neighbors have, except the neighbor below us. And I would not have wanted my wife to come home and see that and step out of the car and think, oh, I'll just get my gloves on and do some shoveling. So I'm digging myself out of a hole, let's put it that way. This is the part I want to talk to you about, when I can be such a jerk. I don't want to build this up, I don't want to put too much of a framework around, but there are framework around it, but there are just times when I'm stupid, I react, I haven't learned from the last time I've made the same stupid mistake, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples. We have a very cluttered kitchen and set of drawers, because we've got like regular plates and we've got all kinds of Japanese plates of different sizes and thing for the chopsticks. So there's extras here, extra tools, extra stuff, which is good. But the placer for the knife and fork and spoon, that was just overfilling, like they're spilling into each other, you know, spoons fucking right on top of the little teaspoons and forks spilling on the knives. It was just a mess. So New Year's comes, my wife cleans it up good. That's the kind of thing she does, and especially at the start of the new year, it's very important in Japan, you know, tidy up. So next time I go to make myself a sandwich or just maybe a piece of toast and butter, I can't find my favorite knife. And all the knives that are in there are very long, very heavy, and very narrow blade. Not a good blade for scraping. I don't know what they would be good for. Maybe if you're in prison and you could sharpen it up, might be a good weapon. But I hate them. I just hate them. There's other knives that are usually in there that have a blade that sort of spreads out almost like a butter knife. It just sort of, takes a little dip out there. And you can just lay that baby flat and spread that peanut butter or whatever it is you've got to put on there. That works as a spreader. The other ones, you double the work, triple the work. So they're not there. So I get frustrated. And I probably swear. Now, I don't know if my wife was here at the time. Probably not. But my reaction would have been, oh, for Christ's sake. Fuck. Jesus Christ. Where the fuck are the goddamn knives? That's kind of my first reaction to things. Not thinking through, not looking, not realizing right away. She wouldn't have thrown them out. They're just probably in a place in the dining room where we'd keep cutlery and things like that. You just have to go over there and look. But I don't do that. I react with this anger. The thing I want, it's like a child, and it's so embarrassing to do that. It's so stupid, and I've done it so many times. And you like to think, okay, we're just going to nip that in the bud. We're not going to allow that anymore. And yet you find yourself, again, overreacting to something trivial. Okay, park that. I think that evening I just told her, I tried to keep my voice level, that there's other knives, and I can't find them, and I really don't like those knives. And, you know, I don't exactly know how I said it, but it didn't erupt into a major fracas or anything. And there are now at least four of those favorite knives back in the drawer. There was a little bit of a lecture that went along with it, that I'm the only one who cleans things up, not meaning me, meaning her. And, you know, it went on for a bit. So I'm always reminded, don't ever complain about anything around here, ever. It's a mistake. You're not going to win. So, last night, we have a habit of watching, eating dinner in front of the TV, and often it's Coronation Street, which we enjoy, or something else. I make sure if my son's sitting down to join us, he's not working, to make sure it's not CNN. But we find something. Often it's a nature show, and then my son might leave early, and it's my wife and I, but it's there. But we start off in the living room with our dishes, and they have a little table they can share between them on the couch. I have the daddy's seat with the recliner type. And I always want a tray. So my food goes onto a tray. This is every meal. I mean, every supper. Put on a tray. I got my knife and fork. Might have my drink there. And sit that on my lap. Great. I know if I'm going to spill anything, it's going to be right there. If I got bones to spit out, I don't have to go searching for something. It just goes on the tray. So I have another ritual, and that is when I make my meds. I take each day 9 different pills all at once, and at least, you know, some of those are vitamin D, something for your bones, that's the D, multivitamins, and a couple of others, but the others are prescription. And so there's a ritual. I have these little plastic containers. You can fill them up, and so I put those on a tray, I open all the little containers, I grab all the bottles of medicine, and I so carefully count out, 18 days worth, because I lost one of them, of meds, and very neatly, and I check, and it never fails me, and every morning it's on the table, and I know, so I never fail to take my meds. At least I have that much discipline and focus. So I've loaded up the tray with all the meds, a lot of stuff on there, but I'm not ready. I'm going to do it tonight when I'm watching TV on my lap, you know. So supper comes. Oh, there used to be 3 trays there. There's only 1 tray now, and that tray is loaded with medicine. I tell my wife, what happened to the other trays? You know, and there's probably a note of panic in my voice. I need another tray, for Christ's sake. Like, there used to be 3. Up until yesterday, there were 3. Now there's 1, and it's in use. Well, never mind. Here, use this. And she goes over to my tray with the meds on and starts taking the meds off. And I'm saying, no, whoa. I know there's 2 other trays in that. Where are they? Well, there's another black tray on the table. A thin one, small one. It does not work well at all. But she hands me that one. And I'm complaining a little. And we get the usual reply, which is, I'm the one who cleans up. How many times have you cleaned that counter? And I say, I clean the counter every day. Well, how many times have you actually gone behind the microwave, behind the toaster, and really cleaned? And those trays were cluttering things up, and on it goes. And it, you know, escalates just a little bit, but I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. Okay, it's not a big deal, but Jesus, can't I just have the fucking trays there? Is it really that big a difference? But she's not going to give in. No, I haven't seen those trays since. I know they're in the house somewhere. I could go dig them out and maybe just escalate, but no. Don't go there. All right. So, you know, again, the aggravation. Like, oh, Jesus Christ. And maybe there's a part of me thinking, oh, man, am I ever going to have a tough time when they put me in the seniors' home and I can't have things my way. And my wife makes it very clear, you get things your way all the time. And, you know, I know to back down now. I'm cowering just a little bit. So last night, laundry night. Great. I got a system for that, too. I have a great big hamper that's collapsible. I love it. It was one Brian Doherty had when he lived in an apartment on the Danforth. And when he was living there with his son, just a dive of a place, but it was kind of neat. We had a big party there. Dave of Chub Creek, not Dave, the other one, the funny one, Gary of Chub Creek was sorry, Dave, was there. And Dave already is angry at me because we won't go into that. So I put all these things in the hamper, carry the hamper downstairs. I put in my towels and trousers. So, wow, we got two loads here, a big one maybe and a medium one. And I'll save the shirts and T-shirts for the medium. I don't do my colors. I do my size and heaviness and whatever. I've never sorted my color. I got no time for that. So I put a load in, and then my wife says something about we don't have to put everything in the dryer because it'll dry in the basement overnight and you'll save money. And I know it sounds like a reasonable idea, but suddenly my routine has changed. And I guess I go down and I see my towel. I see some things in the dryer, just a few things. Oh, I'm supposed to take it out of the machine and put it into the dryer. There's only a few things, a few socks and underwear. Nothing big. And then I look and I see, oh, my towel is draped over, a hanger, wooden hanger. And then my pants are over that. And then a sweatshirt is over that. Well, they're never going to dry three layer deep on that thing. And I get frustrated. Like, for Christ, like, what's this news? I've done my system since we've lived here. Why are we changing it now? Why did you change it, to my wife? I'm not saying that. I'm all that is thinking coming out of my head. Anyway, I turn around. I look for my laundry basket for the second load, the T-shirts and the shirts. It's not there. Like, what the hell? I was in the middle. I have this routine. It's so simple. I know how to do it. Suddenly my clothes are gone. There's a few clothes in the dryer. There's other clothes that are gone. Everything is different. So I go looking for that basket, and I come upstairs. No. Before I come upstairs, I'm shouting and swearing. I'm kicking off my sandals. Oh, for Christ's sake. Jesus, where the fuck are the clothes, for Christ's sake? What the fuck is going on? Jesus, for fuck's sake, it was so sick. What the fuck? Something along that line. And I'm not exaggerating by much, okay? I'm just annoyed, perturbed. Came back upstairs. What the hell? Where are my clothes? They're upstairs in your room. The washed ones. I haven't washed any. I haven't washed those. That was the second load. I go upstairs. There's a pile of clothes. This thing is just dumped out in a big haystack on my bed with a cat sitting on top. And the truth is, it's a very funny story. It's a very funny scene. This could have been in a Dick, Jane, and Sally book, Where are the clothes? Ha ha, they're in the room on the bed. But those are the dirty ones. Look, there's Puff on all the clothes. Ha ha. It should have been that way, but it wasn't. I complained. God damn it, I can do my own bloody laundry. Jesus, I don't. Just what the hell? And I overreact. Again. And by this point, my wife is, you can't quite tell if she's angry or hurt. And now I realize she's both. And that's what saddens me. And that's why I'm sharing this story with you. Because I'm just such a shit about it. Like, such a stupid, immature, childish way to react. She was doing me a favor. She was bringing the clothes, the dry ones, upstairs. Except they hadn't been washed. Why didn't I just come up the stairs laughing, smiling? Why am I just so mean? And she goes on, and I know, I said I'm sorry, and I meant it, but I know I have to get my end of it, and my end is going to be a fairly long talk that I should just sit there and listen to. Like a dog that's had its nose wrapped with a newspaper for shitting on the carpet. A little bit of shame. Should be a lot of shame. Should be genuine sorry. Sorriness. And she does go on about how much freedom I do have, and my thought is, my God, I couldn't live without this woman. What a stupid thing it would be for me to lose this person who I wanted more than anyone in the world over a mistake, over a laundry. Like, how could you have made such a fuss? So I'm telling you this, ashamed, and you know, anybody almost has the right to give me a rabbit punch or something next time you see me. Well, not a hard one, but for just being such a jerk and so disrespectful to my wife and so ignorant and clod-headed. Really, it was bad. Can we move on now? I guess I've pretty well exhausted myself with that, but I want you to know, because so often I try to portray myself as such a nice guy with so many good friends who all love me and so wise and so much experience in life, and here I am on the basic level of human decency being a jerk. Think for yourself. Question authority. We're in a new segment now, by the way. Those are the words of Timothy Leary. I took this off my wall today, too, along with that picture of the Dixon Jeans guys heading up to the Sunshine Coast. Timothy Leary says, think for yourself, question authority. Throughout human history, as our species has faced the frightening, terrorizing fact that we do not know who we are or where we're going in this ocean of chaos, it has been the authorities, the political, the religious, the educational authorities, who have attempted to comfort us by giving us order, rule, regulations. Wow. True that. I mean, we've needed that. You just can't have cavemen all hell breaks loose every night with clubs over their head. Rapes and killings and eating somebody's babies. Can't have that. To think for yourself, you must question authority and learn how to immerse yourself in a state of vulnerable open-mindedness. Chaotic, confused, vulnerability to which you owe yourself. Wow, do those really both go together, or did I just pull those out from somewhere separately? They don't seem connected, do they? Well, they do. I mean, he's saying, you know, buck authority. And I've bucked authority as much as I can in a good part of my life. Buck you, I always said. You can't buck and tell me what to do. Bucker. To think for yourself, you must question authority and learn how to immerse yourself in a state of vulnerable open-mindedness. You see, I think this is what Jason did when he did the thing on authenticity and integrity. Vulnerable open-mindedness. Now, I don't think he was chaotic or confused. Maybe a little vulnerable. Yeah. Was he thinking for himself and questioning authority? I think so. But more than that, he was questioning the pressure of other people, the pressure we put on each other, even unknowingly. The social pressures in these little games where we are, you know, to up your game, get a little better. I just, there was a picture I saw on Instagram of a woman who is one of the most beautiful women I know, like, in real life. I just think she's absolutely stunningly beautiful. She makes, she knits a lot of stuff. I think she has a little store in Windsor. Some of you will know right away who I'm talking about. And she posted a picture that I hadn't seen one for a while. Often she posts other people wearing her stuff, but this was herself, and it was stunningly beautiful. Stunningly beautiful. I mean, that would be a better thing for me to use, but, you know, that wouldn't be right. Anyway, I did post that. I had to think about it. And I did post, so nice to see another beautiful picture. And, you know, got the like for that. But it was. And how do we get on to that? the engagement in social media, my God, I'm tweeting on a Kerouac about a book I posted. I'm tweeting on Coronation Street about if they spent more money instead of on new sets, but on writers, they would have fewer plot holes. Thought that was a good line. I got a few likes for that. And then on Road Trek, I posted something, my concern about Road Trek. So I'm engaged, and it's, you know, man, it's a time sucker. But, you know, it's kind of fun, too. Okay, now I got a few here. You know, the little bell at the top of the page says, oh, somebody's done this. Somebody likes Yuki's page. Somebody reacted to my comment. Yeah. When I posted that picture of the Six Hat Summit, I also, underneath, I wrote, we had a mock funeral that day, and I remember that so well. It was Barnacle Bill was lying down, very hungover, I believe. And so we just stood around him. He was lying on the ground. We just stood around and pretended if one of us was dead, what would we do? What would we say? We had a mock funeral that day, a practice. Now, two of those in the group photo are only with us in our memories. Sorry, that was from Shane, coincidentally. I'll answer him later. This is the other thing. You don't just respond. You try not to the bells and whistles. But I do. I won't say it's an addiction yet. But I am spending a fair amount of time. And you know, right now I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm engaged. It's different people, different communities. It's fun. You choose your words very carefully, unless the typist correct type corrector, you know, spell check changes your whole message, which is really annoying. But you compose your sentence well. You try and say, does this fit? Does this sound right? You run it by yourself. How is this going to sit? You don't just blab. Like, the reason I wrote that comment about the plot holes was somebody, everybody was complaining about, well, how could Gemma have only met her sister now, randomly, when everybody in town, when everybody in town had already engaged with this person? This is towards the end of the episode. Suddenly she meets him for the first time. How could, she's always in the bar. He was in the bar all the time. How could they not have met? Plot hole, right? Bad timing. And so people are complaining about this and any other number of inconsistencies and characters and who stole, what's her name's money, the owner of the beauty salon, Audrey's. One of my favorite characters, actually. I like Audrey. Can't stand Gail, but nobody can. Anyway, where were we now? Audrey's money, David. Yeah, so anyway, the guy responds back in big letters. It's a TV show, for fuck's sake, or for Christ's sake, or maybe it's just, it's a TV show! Exclamation mark. And that's when I responded, no, well, yeah, but it doesn't mean it has to be shit. And oh, the whole point of these Facebook groups, people like expressing their opinion. People like connecting with each other and like saying, I can't stand Peter's new haircut, or why the hell I posted when it came to what's her name with the terrible son. I'm terrible, terrible, terrible with the names. It's pathetic. I just can't. I can picture every one of the characters, and I know their character, but could not tell you their name. Anyway, we didn't really need to talk about... oh, my God, 22 minutes again. This is going to be a long episode, folks, but I think it's... I can't help it. Simple as that. Simple as that. Had lots of thoughts today. I guess I'm still a little bit buzzed from the stuff. Next time I'll use a little less, actually, that I put on my peanut butter sandwich. I managed to function, and my God, I should have just had to go have a nap. Anyway, I'll get back to stuff. All right, hey, whoa, sorry, you didn't need to know any of that. So this is Scarborough Dude once again, with apologies for some rambling that I and other podcasters I know very well have a tendency to do. Signing off.
This is an outtake. Listening not required.
So first noise.
Take two.
Fish can swim. I mean that one. I mean that was just spontaneous. That boy, there's no thinking there. The brain, the neurons, just fired that one. Fast.
Good.
So here we are again. And I said that I had to be honest and raw. Now, before I get into that, I've got to refer you to Jason Reese. You can find him under Up in This Brain. or could be up from this brain. I'm not sure. I am sure. I'm stupid joke. Up from this brain. Gave a podcast on integrity, this little thing that got going within this intimate little community. And I listened a second time, and will be listening a third time, and it was an example of integrity. It talked about integrity in such an interesting way. By example, a lot. And blended in authenticity, and it was very, it was a sermon in a very good way of, wow, he really means what he says. This is real. And I was quite impressed. I was quite taken with that, and I feel it's awkward. Seeing that, because I worry, I hope that's understood, that this is sincere. Well, I want to say I'm struggling a little bit here. I guess the other thing about using oils and things is it lasts a lot longer. I'm just wondering, maybe people should know that. Anyway, I was going to talk about this shit stuff. There's the thing that my son and I had this conversation when I was in this morning. Don't say it's genetic or anything like that, because he's short-tempered, can be, and I'm short-tempered, and I'm trying to say, well, maybe it's linked to something else, but sorry, you got mine. He was the one who told me that my laziness is the norm, stubbornness. Just standing, looking down, looking at me, wind up and down on our stops in Winnipeg, in this park, on the way to Vancouver together, and train me up front to my nice little place on the back and coach. We're teased about it. This might have been a mistake during the sundown, but I just wanted to be honest with myself. This is the time to shut this baby down. This would be in the OT cat bath.